It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on, well, this first weekend of deer season.
Yeah, bow season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How about that?
Yep,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's here. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
October 17th. 2 days, season opened up the 15th for bow season.
You know, look at this and realize, you know, I thought about this week. I've shot very little with my bow this late summer. When I was a younger man, I would have shot, the center out of a target by now. I mean, every afternoon I'd shoot for an hour, hour and a half.
Sean.
I just, and my problem is, you know, the last decade or so, I shoot a longbow, which means even more practice.
You got to practice more with a longbow, yes.
Just to pitching practice and all that when you do, because it's, I mean, it's eye hand, it's not. It's
more instinct.
And dang it, I don't know if, like last year, it went this way and I didn't get time to shoot, and I don't think I ended up bow hunting at all, which is a real shame. This year, I know I'm a couple weeks out from feeling like, you know, even if the weather gets right, I got to, you know, I got to shoot some to be ready. Plus, so many of us are planting right now, and that, you know, that's fine. You can bow hunt in the morning or plant in the afternoon, whatever. So good for y'all that have gotten out. I know my buddy got out on Thursday morning, went to a little place we had on the river, and he said, you know, it's supposed to be fun bow hunting. I said, yeah, it's fun. He said, there's a certain number of mosquitoes where it becomes unfun.
Yes.
And even though we've cooled down some, it's not frozen yet, and the mosquitoes are still doing their thing. Heck, I got them in the backyard bad. So, yeah, he was in the river swamp and said, yeah, it was about that. I said, how long you hunt? How long you lay in there? He said, about an hour.
Yeah.
He said, about an hour is what I could take.
Yeah. You know, this weekend, it's nice. It's, you know, it's down in the high 40s, low 50s. And that's around here, so up the country, you're going to get, you know, mid-40s or so, and warm up to 70-something.
Perfect mosquito weather.
Yeah. Well, in the mornings, it won't be bad, that's for sure. Now, in the afternoons, it warms up 70 degrees. I mean, mosquitoes are going to be out. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So.
It's bow season's here. I want to talk about, as run through the show, a lot to talk about here. We're talking about what's going on with Snapper, with the regulations, with the rough weather. And how they're going to play this out going forward. We'll get into that in a second. Also, we'll talk some planting and all that. But bow season-wise, at this point in the year, I also would have spent a lot of time looking at acorn trees. Look at oaks. I haven't. I've been on a tractor. If I could see them from the tractor, it'd be one thing. I've been in the woods, been on the tractor, but I got so much ground to plant.
Well, that's the problem, Sean. When you're trying to get your property ready to gun hunt, a lot of times you don't have time for the bow hunting.
Right.
You know,
unless you plant back. Now, there's some, you know, there's this game, right? We all know the game. There's a plant early and catch that late summer thunderstorm or possibly tropical weather and get planted in September, get it growing. And if you do it good enough and get roots deep enough, you can make it through the October dry that we normally have. But if you get too close to how many more rains you have before that dry, we're in the dry now, then the rest of us that didn't do it in September, we're not going to have any kind of patch. You know, there's no reason even to put the seed in the ground, prep and everything, but until there's another rain coming, I'm not going to put fertilizer or seed in the ground. Now I'm going to get everything as we have. Everything that can be done that doesn't involve seed in the ground is done.
Yeah. Now,
waiting on the rain.
We went last week. I went up.
Did you put seed in the ground?
We got seed in the ground Wednesday and Thursday morning.
Did you catch
a
rain?
Oh, yeah. That was a tropical storm. Yeah.
Oh, you got the rain off of Delta. You got there before.
Oh, yeah. We did that. It was sprinkling when we got through.
Yeah, I couldn't. We had to work.
You know? So that worked out just right. Now,
which, by the way, y'all love that feeling? Y'all love the feeling when you – this is something that not everybody understands. I know you understand it. When you finish planting – and like maybe even some raindrops on your head on the tractor when you're heading back to the barn.
Yep.
You put everything up and then it goes to raining. That is it's a feeling I can't describe, but there's a satisfaction to that you really don't get in your everyday work world that there's just something. It's work, well, but it's a satisfaction.
All your hard work's getting ready to pay off.
You know, and then you catch that rain right then, and you're like, yep.
Well, it didn't rain right then, but it did sprinkle a little bit, but we did get some rain the next day and the next day. So we got some pretty good rains up there.
Well, I'm looking at this forecast. You're lucky because there's not rain in the mix for a while here. Maybe a little chance on Tuesday.
It looks like maybe the next 10 days no rain.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now we're having these cool mornings and cooler days, so it's not so bad. It's not going to dry out so bad. And we get a little dew in the mornings too. So we should be okay. I think there's enough moisture in the ground now, especially up there where I hunt in Black Belt.
Because y'all just hold moisture.
It does. It just holds moisture. But let me tell you what. We planted our fields, and we went through one field and planted, and then I went through to another field and planted, and I came back through the one we just got through planting. It was maybe 30 minutes later.
How many turkeys were in there?
None, but there was a hog in there eating every one of my seeds.
Already?
Already,
the
yes.
Hog is, I have the turkeys follow me around, but I hadn't had the...
I pull up there, you know, and
how long have you been out in the field?
Oh, maybe 30 minutes.
And he's already in.
He's done smelled a seed or whatever, and he's coming. And anyway, he's out there eating my dead gum seed. So I pulled up in my truck, and he looked at me, but he didn't run. He
wasn't enough to break him off
but
that seed.
But I got out of the truck and got my gun, and you know, and then he ran off. And I said, he's coming back. I didn't really scare him. And 5 minutes later, he came back. So I shot him, and he ran off. So I'm sure I probably killed him. I should have. But that's the problem that we have now. It used to be just turkeys and crows and birds, you know, come in there and get your seed. But I promise you, these hogs, if you especially like we used to put it on top of the ground, because it'll grow anywhere. It'll grow on
back
asphalt.
Your truck, yes.
You know? So... now you can't do that. You got to cover them up. Even covering it up, it really don't make that big of a difference because they smell it and they eat it, and then they got their babies and they come in there and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it don't start germinating and growing pretty fast, they'll eat every seed you got out there.
That's why you want that rain hitting while you're planting.
Hitting right away so it'll germinate and come on back up. So another thing that I've started doing, Sean, when I plant, I used to put my fertilizer out right then when I'm planting. So I have started waiting on that. I think it does better.
You're a top dresser, afterward top dresser.
Yes. Yeah. I'll wait about 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks. I let it get on up about 6 inches or so, and then I go in there and put my fertilizer out. I usually use triple 19 or triple 21, and then I mix in some ammonia nitrate with it.
Now, see, and the ammonia nitrate thing, I'll come back if
– right.
If I remember.
In the fall. I mean, later on in the winter.
December.
Yes. Yes.
When those patches start looking raggedy.
Yeah.
You come in. Because ammonium nitrate's like sugar for plants. It's not, you know, it's all in. You know, it's all coming in. But it does good. It's like a sugar high. It's not what you build your whole root structure off of. But does it make it green up and get good real fast? Sure does.
Oh, yeah. You know,
hogs like ammonium nitrate, too. You know that?
Oh, they eat anything and everything.
They will eat. They will, if you left a bag of fertilizer out, where you have hog.
Yeah,
they will eat through the bag of fertilizer.
I didn't know that.
I've seen it.
They'll eat.
They have eaten fertilizer.
They eat whatever you got out there. It don't matter what it is. They eat it. It's unbelievable. But the guy I hunt with up there used to be in the fertilizer business. That's what he did for a living for years. And that's what he told me to do. He said, put triple 19 or triple 21. He said, but also put at least a bag to 2 bags of ammonia nitrate per acre.
Why wouldn't you just get something with a higher?
I'm just telling you what he told me
to do. I'm not saying I know more than him.
Because he's done it all his life, sold fertilizer to all those big farmers.
The reason I bring ammonium nitrate in afterwards is that I don't need to put P and K in there. I'm just going to bring ammonium to push it on because the other stuff I don't need to.
Right.
But this is a discussion. This is a good one here about top dressing. Now, some people say, you know, when you top dress, and what we're talking about, y'all, is like versus planting your, you know, when you're planting, you put your fertilizer in, you put your seed in, you cover. That's how most of the time.
Most people do that. That's what they do.
What Mike's doing, and I've
done
it
for years
and
too.
What Mike's doing now, and I've done it as well, depends on the places and the time, is you just put seed in, and you press the seed in or whatever you do, cover, redisc or whatever. And then once those tender shoots get up, then you give them a top dressing of fertilizer. But you really got to have a rain then because, I mean,
you need to have rain coming just like putting a seed out.
I also got to look at a chart. And half-life might not be the right term, but every day that fertilizer is exposed to sun, it loses some – it's a percentage of its fertilizer capacity.
Right.
There's some kind of ratio. It depends on what – you know, if you're triple 13 or triple 17 or, you know, 0-22, whatever. I mean, there's a ratio of what it loses each day.
Yeah.
So that's one of the dangers. I'm on board, but people worry if you just top dress it and you don't catch that rain right now that fertilizer sits there and loses its efficacy.
You know? And if you put too much fertilizer, it'll burn the grass.
Make it yellow.
So,
hey, by the way, that with ammonium nitrate, you watch what you're doing because you can burn stuff real. We're talking like a chemical fertilizer burn.
But fertilizer doesn't last 6 months. I mean, fertilizer lasts about 2 months,
mm-hmm.
somewhere around in there. You know, it might last close to three, but I think it's somewhere between 2 and 3 months is about all you get out of your fertilizer.
That's why, Mike, I like to build topsoil.
Yeah.
Topsoil that naturally has.
You're right.
So this is my transition into throw and mow.
Yeah.
We'll come back from the break. Because, I do both. We run a lot of disc and do a lot of discing, but also do lots of spraying and ready to put my throw and mow fields in. We get questions about this every year. We'll run through that. Mm-hmm. Talk some snapper. I'm kind of begging for people to tell me, is this a good year, bad year on your place for mast? You seeing a lot of red oaks? You seeing overcups? You seeing swamp chestnuts? What you seeing out there? White oaks? What's hanging in the trees? Because I hadn't gotten off the tractor long enough to look.
Me either, Sean.
We'll come right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And kind of a mixed bag, although, I mean, we are going to talk this snapper thing here in a second. We need to talk about deer season, man. But Mike and I have gotten to the planting and hunting conversation. Tell you what, let's do this. We'll clear this, and then we'll do it again at the end of the show so we make sure people who come and go get the information. So snapper season's open today and tomorrow, and then next Saturday, Sunday, and probably... I'd say the next Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Remember, all of y'all probably know it, but I talked about this on the midday show where it's not everybody that hunts and fishes, and just trying to relate to them that we don't fish days, we fish tonnage.
Right.
And so the tonnage could say, if nobody went, well, it could be open every day forever until you reach the tonnage. So we had hurricane,
last
hurricane
week
Delta.
When it opened up. Yeah.
Today we have... 4 foot seas.
4'6".
Okay.
That's what they say. You know, those 4'6" is 8 to 10.
It's,
you know.
10.
Yeah.
I always add it together.
Yes.
So people aren't fishing today. So season's open, but not a bunch of people going. Therefore, we'll keep having days.
Next week it'll open again.
Yeah. So it's Saturday, Sundays, and that's going to be going forward. We'll try to get Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, back on with us after maybe this weekend, couple for him to maybe gauge what they think the participation will be, because that's the other thing that happens. Even if the weather gets nice, once it gets on in, it gets cold, it gets on into the holidays, it gets on into hunting season. I like to catch a snapper, but
one more thing too. There's a lot of people not really going out of Gulf Shores. They don't have boats.
That's right.
They up in the in people's yards.
True. Fewer boats. Absolutely.
Yes.
So
a lot of them.
So this. This may end up being something that Saturday, Sundays for quite a while.
It could be.
So,
yeah.
But that's the situation. It's open today. It's open tomorrow. And I'll just risk it and say it's going to be open next Saturday and Sunday, too.
It will. Because
there's no way they're going to reach the tonnage.
I don't know anybody's going to go out this weekend.
All right. So there's that. So, and we'll revisit that at the end of the show. But we're in this dang discussion during the news break.
Yeah.
So,
about fertilizing.
Yeah. So fertilizing. Okay. Yeah. Because we got the first, we're talking about top dressing fertilizer on fields.
On plant. On your fields.
So planting your fields. Like if you're going today to plant, you plant them, but you don't fertilize them. And you come back once it's up a little bit.
Right.
You like how?
You know, like you say, 2 to 3 weeks, but I'm not going to go out in 2 weeks and just fertilize. I'm going to be looking at the weather.
Catch rain.
I have to go up there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or whatever, and if a rain's coming on Friday, I'm going up Thursday and I'm going to get my fertilizing in.
Yeah. You got to time it with the rain.
I don't want the fertilizer. It's like you're talking about. I don't want my fertilizer to sit out there for
Because it becomes less, because the sun gets to it and it doesn't have its power. Yeah.
You know, so and then we got into a discussion a little bit of trees. You know, we need to go fertilize our oak trees.
And I said, no, you don't.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's explain that.
Now, and this is not research I've done. It's just stuff I've listened to and studied and read. And because I'd love.
You do it, a lot more of that than I do.
I'd love it to be true. Because especially where I am now, I have a lot fewer oak trees. You know, in the river swamp, you had them everywhere. But even in the river swamp, I had certain swamp chestnuts or whatever that I wanted to hunt more than others. I sure would have liked to make that tree. And I hauled fertilizer in and did it and scraped the leaves.
That's why I was getting ready to ask. Did you ever do that?
Scraped the leaves away. Poured it around where the drip ring would be and all the stuff that I thought was right. Because I was going to make that swamp chestnut better than the rest of them.
The one that every deer is going to come to.
That's right.
And that's the only tree you need to hunt, because that's where all the deer are going to be, where you fertilize, and all the acorns are much sweeter.
I thought that was true. Now, I did see some activity as hogs would root up the fertilizer that I put in, but I never knew if it worked or not. I mean, you'd go in and say, I guess it's good. You know, we got a lot of. We got a lot of swamp chestnut acorns here, but I had no analysis. There was nothing scientific about it.
Right.
And I heard an interview that I think they were doing on Deer University or something and talked about a study. And then while we were in the news break, I Googled, and QDMA has an article about it as well. Their theory. Now, once again, I'm not the person who did the study. I'm just telling you what they say, and you can look through at their methodology for doing this.
And I believe QDMNA, which is Quality Deer Management
Association.
Yeah.
You want me to read that one line? The one line where they say, okay, don't waste fertilizer on oak trees.
That's all you need to know.
Not a lot
unless
of gray.
You just want to read a lot more.
There's not a lot of gray in that. And they go through and how they did their. They did what I didn't do. That is, they did the survey of, here's two oak trees in a very similar situation. What's the average weight of the acorn? What's the phosphorus content? You know, you're always trying to get that. The reason why a white oak and a swamp chestnut and to some degree an overcup and others are more palatable to deer, they got less tannins in it versus a red oak, right? You're trying to find the ones that the whiter acorn meat versus the orange. So that's the amount of tannins. And they did all these.
This is a 10-year study, too.
They compared sugars and protein and digestible nutrients and fiber and phosphorus. No real difference here.
Isn't that amazing?
But they did say in that article, if you want to produce more. This is why articles like this get my attention. You would produce more acorns, cut down more oak trees.
Yeah, I can just see me and you. There's a big old white oak tree right here, and 20-30 yards away over here is another big old white oak tree.
I don't
think we're going to cut one of those that's been there for 50 years.
Yeah,
we're going to cut one of them down. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it?
Be real hard to do.
Yes.
And what they're saying, that their idea is first of all, they went through and said, and this is true, and I think if you pay attention to it, and if you got a bottom you hunt or a block of woods, oak flat you hunt, over the years, there are some trees that are probably a little more consistent, even though oak trees go in boom and bust cycles and all that. You have a good year, bad year. Some produce more than others and produce more consistently. And they said, one of the stats they had is, I think it was like, 39%? Yeah, 39% on this block of 10 acres with 100, I'm sorry, it's more than 100 white oaks were evaluated for 10 years and rated as excellent, good, moderate, or poor acorn producers. A small portion of the trees were responsible for the majority of the acorn crop. 39% of the oak trees produced 69% of all the acorns.
So 40% of the trees produce 70% of the acorns.
Yes.
How about that?
So they're saying, if you could, analyze
that. Does it say the same trees?
Yeah.
The same trees?
Yeah.
Same? Okay.
So this is, they identified these better producer trees, and they did the majority of the, they did 70% of the production.
Yeah.
40% of the trees. Now, they said, then they're talking about taking out the trees that are poor producers.
Yeah.
Lets more sun get in, lets the crown of that oak tree get bigger.
And it produces
even more. So, but no fertilization.
Yeah. And for us hunters, like I say, that's just kind of hard to do. But I mean, that's the study and that's the fact.
Well, if you find that oak tree, that whatever God's plan is, that oak tree is a better producer, more consistent, and more acorns than the others.
Every year, you can go there just about.
That sucker right there is our go-to. If you cut the trees out from away from it, it lets that tree in an even age stand of oaks, right, where they're all competing. You cut those away from it, it then increases its crown, and it does more of what it does good anyway.
Produces more leaves, more doesn't branches, mean I'm gonna go, more acorns.
I'm not going to have the steel chainsaw out there this weekend cutting them down. I'm just telling you what the studies have shown. Yeah. So there's it's a side note.
The big thing on that is don't waste your fertilizer.
I know. Because you would think, because if you fertilize, I mean, I grow a garden each year, and I know, I want to produce a bigger tomato. And it's not always straight fertilizer. It's like, do I need to put some potash on this one or different things, calcium in this, but these taste better. They're prettier. They grow bigger. That makes sense. But so I always thought, well, the tree would be like that. It's the fruit of the tree is an acorn. They say, don't waste your money.
I told you earlier, I didn't think that study was right because I had a friend of mine that had some sawtooth oaks that the landowner planted his sawtooth oaks, same time planted my sawtooth oaks on my property. And we both grow about the same thing, same size. And he fertilized his every year, and he had sawtooth oaks every year in abundance. And I never fertilized any.
Well, he had acorns in abundance.
Yeah.
Were his trees bigger than yours?
No. That, well,
see, that's what I wonder. I wonder if it's.
I can't remember. Seems
if they
like
reached
they were.
Maturity faster and got bigger and had more actual places for acorns to grow on the limbs.
Now, that's a possibility. That is, no, I can't remember that. That's been 15, 18, 20 years ago. That's been a long time ago, so I can't really remember and tell you whether his trees were bigger than mine, but I'm thinking back, and I'm thinking they were bigger. And that's a possibility that fertilizer maybe did help grow the tree, which matured it faster, mass. And that's possible.
Now, sawtooths that are from Japan, they're from Japan. They grow a lot fast. They reach acorn maturity a lot faster than our natives.
6 years.
Yeah, versus, the time you got to wait for a native species. But
and they drop in like September and the 1st of October, too.
Right, versus November.
Yes.
Yeah. So, by the way, go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Go there. The study is up and read through it. Love to get your comments on that on the Facebook page. All right, so there's that part. Delved off into acorn, but it's because it's bow season, man, and there is really nothing, and I miss it so desperately with not being ready to bow hunt again, than sitting in a climber or a lock-on in a section of trees that's nothing but caps from where the deer have been in there. It's a great way to hunt.
It is. Even if you've got corn out, which is legal to do now.
We call that yellow acorns.
Yellow acorns. If you got yellow acorns out, they prefer the acorns.
That's right.
They do. They're going to come to the acorns before they come to the corn. So if you got a good mass-producing hardwood tree, that's where you want to be for bow season.
And it's just those hunts. I mean, you can go have a great hunt right now if you got a green field up, or if you have a corn feeder, you can go hunt, or just a trail, something like that. But there's something special about being on one of those trees. You just have a lot of confidence in a white oak or a swamp chestnut, overcup, something like that. You're like, and you hear those leaves crunching and you know they're coming to you.
Yeah.
Pretty great stuff.
It is.
Coming right back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along on this Saturday. And as we talk about all the things going on, Mike and I are delving off into bow hunting and planting and all that stuff. But of course, the inshore fishing continues to get better and better and better. Captain Bobby's having great trips on the south and north end of the bay. He said the topwater fishing, he was trying to tempt me there. He said topwater fishing down the south end is just stupid.
It's just like we always say, Sean, this is just an awesome time to live in this part of the world.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we've got so many things to do. The tuna fishing is great.
Yeah, you know, I don't need right to hear now. That. I didn't even think about that.
The king mackerel showed up. Yeah. They're catching tons of kings right now. You know, the speckled trout fishing is great. The bass fishing is turning on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. And then
we'll have Captain Wayne back on with us.
Deer season open up.
Yeah,
we got all these hogs we got to get rid of. We got to plant. You know, then you got to work on the camp too. I mean, it's just
never ends.
It don't ever
but,
end.
But it's good. It's good. And then I go do. Then to make it worse, then I'm leaving. So you're going to be on your own beginning of November with the show.
What?
Going back out to Colorado. So you're going to be doing the show on your own.
Oh my goodness! I'm going to have to get 4 or 5 people to come help me. Come on. Take your place.
come on in and get the show done. So,
yeah.
But that'll be, hopefully get a little bit of hunting done before then and be ready. What I'm trying to do is be ready back here because I'm going to be gone for a weekend and some weekdays. And I can guarantee you when I come home that weekend, I'm not going straight to the woods after I've been left her with the 2 kids. I'm home from mule deer hunting in Colorado,
and now
I'm heading to the whitetail woods. That's probably not going to swing.
I don't think so.
I'll have to be at the house.
Yep. Do want to remind people, though, if they do shoot a deer today with their bow, what they can and what they can't do with it.
Right. Well, what you can't do is you can't – better say, what you can't do. First of all, if you're going to take it to a processor, if you're going to gift it to somebody – if you're going to do anything other than...
If you're going to take it to a taxidermist.
Taxidermist. You have to have a form, then you can print that from the Outdoor Alabama website, that is a transfer tag.
Yes.
And basically what this is, they hadn't said this, but I'm going to say this, and Chuck Sykes or whomever can correct me, you know, if I'm wrong. I think this is a way to make sure people fill out game check, because you have to put a game check number on there. So this means that when you kill that buck or doe, you got a game check, right? And then if you're going to take it to the processor, or turkey, when we get turkey season, but
Season starts too. In November.
Yeah,
in
Monroe County and
Clark County, I think.
Or is it? Yeah, it's one.
Clark.
It's
Monroe.
Clark and it's not Monroe or something like it. Cause, or is it? Maybe it is Clark Monroe too.
Whatever.
Because we always joke that, the Washington County side, you're like, you can shoot a turkey over there in the fall, but right here across this river, it's a no-go.
Yep.
But that's a whole different discussion. Yep. So you can't, if you go to the processor, even in the buck, you're taking the taxidermist, like Mike said, but even if you go take that deer to the processor, they're going to, the way the law is now, and I guess they all know, they're going to ask you for this form.
Yep.
You got to have this form,
and
on
they
that
may
form,
have some forms.
I'm sure they
will. Too. I'm
It'd
sure
be good
they
for
will.
Business to have stacks of them.
Yes.
But you're going to have to put a game check number down. Yes. When they take that deer from you, it'll have to have that game check number that goes with it.
So if you haven't checked it in, you'll need to do it right then.
Yeah, if you're going to get it processed. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to give that deer, let's say that you shoot it, and you're just going, I'm going to give it to my cousin or whatever, then he's got to have a piece of paper from me with that game check number on it. So if they see him out in his front yard skinning that deer or something, they stop and say, you know, where's your farm or what?
Yeah.
They'll write him a ticket if he don't have it.
So, you go to Outdoor Alabama, look at the forms.
This is something new for this year.
It is.
So we got to remind people.
And there's going to be a lot of people that don't think about it or don't know about it that will get. I think going to the processor will be the biggest thing here. It'll be open people's eyes.
Or
taxidermists.
Yes.
But I'm not like Mike Ward. I spend way more time at the processor than the taxidermist.
Look, I'm
shooting does.
I used to be that way, but not anymore. I hadn't killed a deer, and I can't tell you when. So all that's, I do everything for my grandson now.
Yep.
That's why I don't bow hunt. I mean,
because you can't get,
I got a 350-acre piece up there. It's not a big piece, but, you know, I got it for my grandson.
Yeah.
You know, so if I go up there and one comes out and I shoot him with my bow, you know, or gun season comes, I shoot him with my gun, I say, I should have left that for my grandson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't killed a deer in a pretty while now. He's 14 now. When he gets a little bit older, me and him's going to start competing.
There you go. There you go. All right, son.
Change.
All right, son. I remember all those times where I stepped out of the way and set you up for that deer and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, good luck. because yep, it's on now.
We're getting ready to change that.
Well, I can't wait for that, too. It's been a – tell you what, that young man has killed some fine deer. He's had a real good teacher, so he's going to be –
He's been pretty lucky.
He's going to be poison is what that boy's going to be. I'm trying to get mine – mine aren't particularly – my I got one that will kill. She's not particularly poisonous yet. I'm trying to make her that way, but –
Yeah, all kids are different. I mean, your son,
he's not
John Bickler. He really doesn't care that much about it, does he?
Nope.
Yeah, won't take him fishing this year. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. and don't he didn't care about going with us.
Nope.
You know?
I got in my family, it's my daughter who's the outdoors person and more than my son. But it may change down the road.
Well, I hope it does. Yeah, we're gonna keep asking him.
Yes, that's for sure. Yeah, but I think about that looking through. You know, deer that, you know, and I don't, you purposely aren't killing them. I'm just, there's none to the size I want to shoot, where I have, or to the age that I want to shoot. But I have lined up a couple of these jokers that are going to be, if they'll come out for my daughter, it's going to be bad news. They've been given too many passes by me and they will continue to get them. But if that 15-year-old's in there.
Oh, we're going to ask. That's the exciting part. You know, they get so much more out of it than me and you do now. Now, back in the day, it was a different story. But now, oh, it's just so much more fun to watch them shoot one or one of my grandson's guests come up, one of his buddies that's never killed one and shoots one. Oh, man, it's so much fun to watch that. So I get a lot more out of it than I used to, I can tell you.
And
you know, I'm doing like you. If I want to go kill a big deer, I'm going to go to Kansas. I'm going to go to Canada. You know, you're going out west, going to shoot a mule deer out there. So that'll get some of that out of your system,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
If you kill something.
If I kill something.
I'm counting on you shooting something.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. You know, I got lucky 2 years ago. See if I can get lucky again.
Yeah.
Just waiting for – wait, because I have not been able to train like I did 2 years ago. In other words, I have not been, you know, walking Stairmaster, running stairs, all the stuff I did like I did 2 years ago.
You're going to regret
it. I'm hoping
it.
For I am going to regret it. I'm trying in the evenings, but I'm waiting for – I got to have a big snow out there. Because the game out there, as you get later in the year, and I always look at these later tags, that those deer that are way up in the mountains and tough in September and even October, if you start getting snow dumped up at the high elevations – then they come on down,
yeah,
where old Flatlander Sullivan can have a chance at them.
Where you can breathe down there.
Yeah, well, I mean, even what they consider flat and low stuff is 5,000, 6,000 feet. They're like, they're way down at 6,000 feet. You're like, well, where I live, it's
sea level.
Yeah, sea level. So it's all high altitude dust. But, yeah, we'll be doing that in November.
And we were going to go to Canada this year.
Yeah,
and
COVID.
We can't get across the borders now. We can't fly into Canada. I don't know when that's going to change.
I wonder what that's doing. You know, we look at the different effects on economies out there. I wonder what that does to those Canadian outfitters, because I got to imagine.
Oh, a lot.
I wonder what percentage of their business is Americans. Whether you're duck and goose hunting up there, because there's a bunch of duck and goose hunting goes on. People go up there, which I want to do one day, or big game hunting.
95% of it is from the United States, I can tell you.
Those outfitters have got to be hurting.
Sure they are. Absolutely.
I mean, big time.
Yeah.
Now, if they'll stick around till next year, that means there's a whole age class of deer that didn't get killed this year. And maybe next year, if things are back to where we can go across the border, might be the year to go.
Yeah.
They'd be stacked up. All these deer got an extra year on them.
Where I was planning on going, and I talked to you about it too, up here on the Indian Reservation where I'd hunted in the past, he sent me a couple pictures of some big old elk they've killed this year.
Yeah, they're monsters.
Yeah, I'm talking about some big elk. So I'm going to try to do that, too, here in the next year or so before I get too old to do it.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Yep.
I'm in. All right, a couple other things, too. So we're talking about seasons as they go. Also, it was if somebody saw it differently, please let me know. But I checked myself a couple times and checked with people I know that know what they're doing, and we missed – even though I like the later teal season that we've had now, the later move it back by a week.
That's one more thing we got to do around here, too.
We missed, I think we missed I just didn't see them. And the people I talked to that hunted when I couldn't hunt, they didn't see them in any numbers. They may have come through now or since, you know, in the last couple, you know, sometime in the last couple of weeks, but we just didn't see the push during teal season. I hope we see the push of big ducks, you know, and teal and everything, the migration come next month. Usually we start seeing, at least for me, over the decades hunting the causeway, that full moon that I don't have my chart up, but it's usually somewhere around Halloween, going into that weekend or on Halloween or that first week in November, that full moon no matter what, as long as we get some kind of north wind, we get a bunch of ducks then. We call them calendar ducks. Right. So those ducks migrate because of the length of the day. They don't have to have the big super cold front like later in the year to get the other ducks down, but these will just come on down because it's time, and they just kind of show up. But grass is there. We dodge bullets here with these tropical storms and hurricanes. Even with Sally going in where Sally went in, didn't wreck the freshwater vegetation on the causeway. We got grass for days on the causeway.
Now, you know, one thing that might have caused the teal not to come down, we didn't really have any kind of a front.
Nope.
None. Zero. We didn't have any kind of a front a week ago?
Because usually we get, and I think about this
after
over time.
After Delta, actually.
Yeah, we, you know, and I talked to our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, about this over the years. We usually get right there before Labor Day, like a day or two, just a little drier air comes in.
Right.
Then Labor Day will be scorching hot. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have another 7 or 10 days, and then there's another little dry thing. And so we just didn't get those. And those were little, they're not like real cold fronts, but they're just.
No, but they get down in the 60s. They're not 75 in the morning. It'll be down in the 60s.
It took it longer to do that. So maybe when it comes, it's going to come with a passion. We're coming right back to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And yeah, go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Make sure to put that outdoors in there to get that story from QDMA about quit wasting your money fertilizing oak trees.
Yeah.
Cut some down if you want more acorns. Go look at the story. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. My partner, Mike Ward, and I have been spending most of our time, even though fishing, still got, you know, let me introduce one more thing. Listen to this. You know what we should be doing? It's dry. It's cooled off. The rivers are back in the bank. We should be catching spotted bass. We should be in the Chickasaw Hay.
Right.
Catching spots.
Yeah, or up at your camp in the creek.
Yep, catching spots.
There's just too many things to do this time of year, and we all working. And we only get a couple of days a week. Now, I'm going up to my camp when we get through here, and I'm going pig hunting. All my feeders, they are pigs every morning.
I just saw pictures on Mike's phone.
And every afternoon.
And piglets?
Yes. Oh, we got a problem.
The next generation, man.
Yes. But one thing I did want to say before we get too far into this segment about bow season right now, a lot of people don't realize this because that's another thing that they have changed. You can't shoot any does for the first 10 days of bow season. So a lot of people listen to this, just be reminded you can't shoot, because it wouldn't be good to shoot a doe and then call in and record it.
Right.
You know, with game check, that probably wouldn't be a good thing to do, because in the southern part of the state.
Yeah, and the reason why. Okay, so when this came in, when we moved the end date of deer season to February 10th. This is all based on the fetal studies to see the mean conception date, when people were saying, hey, you're shutting season down before we even get a chance at the rut.
That's right.
And by the way, even though people don't think about it, you can go look at the chart, and we've talked about it before with the deer biologists from the state. We got a bunch of different runts in the state. Now, there are really two that dominate most of the state, but you go to East Central Alabama, and it's a pretty cool story when it comes to and the ones up in the Northwest that are those biggins that they get in the Talladega National Forest up there in Winston County. They rut like in the next couple weeks, like they would in the North, you know, that first week in November, something like that.
First to the middle of the month in November.
So, yes. but down here, so when they moved that end date to February 10th, that was based on science. Not just because the people were right. They're saying, hey, you know, we're not getting it. So they did the studies, and they said, yeah, the rut is falling later in a lot of these places. So we're going to give a chance. Well, that also means that the fawns are a lot later, and therefore they don't want you shooting does when the fawns are still dependent on the does.
Yeah.
That's why and to quote somebody in the system, I won't even call him out by name, but he said, it would be fine with me if we could move it to the end of November. Biologically, it'd be better at the end of November. There's people. Well, when did you see a spot? You told me
it was in January.
You saw one in January.
I saw twice, two different years. I've seen spotted fawns in January.
So that fawn needs its mama.
Yeah.
You know, when they're like that. So
that was back. That's when, like, that was, they made it in like May.
Yeah.
To have that.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was telling you off air that just in our place, I've seen, I actually have some really early drop in fawns. If you go to like my Instagram page and stuff, for a couple weeks there, I did fawn cam and I was dropping pictures of fawns. I was getting early August.
Yeah.
I had those fawns. But now I'm getting pictures now, pushing the end of October, of spotted fawns still. So yeah. On my one property, I'm seeing them from August to. So that shows you, I mean, how spread out that rut is. So what they're saying here about this extra 10 days, yeah, we're buck only from when it opened on Thursday now through the 25th, because it's if biologically we move the season, you know, end 10 days later because of the mean conception date, the peak of the rut, then we therefore need to say, because that's one of the things too on does, that even before when they opened on the 15th, the idea was that the fawns could be weaned by that point.
Right.
Now, most of us made our own judgments. You'd see spotted fawn come in with doe. I wouldn't shoot that doe.
No.
You know,
I have done before, and I would never do it again. Yeah, a bad experience.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, because the fawns come back
and
want the mama, and just sit around there and wait on mama. You know, I won't ever do that again.
Yeah, no, so that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So getting those fawns at the point they can be weaned.
Yeah.
So that's why it's bucks only for the first 10 days, and conceivably – believe me, I like the idea of shooting does with my bow, and also management-wise, getting all that done early, but not at the cost of the resource, you know?
No.
Because you do that, you kill two deer.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, the best, trying to kill a big buck, best is the first week, 10 days anyway. Nobody's been in the woods. Nobody's disturbed anything, you know?
When they're not as panicked.
Yeah, and they're feeding. They're feeding up for the winter. They know the winter's coming, and they're feeding, and especially if you got, you know, some good acorn trees or something to be
on. But you got to have some cold, I think. It depends on the property, but you got to have some cold to motivate that daytime feeding, because I watch cameras, a lot of cameras.
Yeah.
I use digital cameras. I watch cameras. I look at 1,000 pictures a week, probably from different places. So I still had, no pressure on the property. The buck, 2:15 a.m., 9:35 p.m., 9:35 p.m., 11 p.m., you know. Just don't get – until – if I get some cold, I'll start getting a few more daylight pictures of those bucks.
Yeah.
But even with no pressure – it wasn't even and it gets worse, obviously, with pressure. But with no pressure, they still
a lot of nocturnal. You're basically on feeders, though, right?
Yeah.
The majority of them. It's a little different.
On trails. I get more.
In the bottoms and stuff.
You know, I agree with that.
Move more in the daylight hours. So where me and you would be bow hunting, we'd be more likely to see a buck in the bottoms or in the hardwoods or whatever.
On that acorn tree we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. So that makes a little difference.
I'd like to see, I'd like to get a little report from the audience, too, if you want to drop us email or whatever, where you are and how the crop looks for acorns this year. Like I said, hopefully I'll have something soon, but I hadn't been off the tractor long enough to go walk and look in trees.
Me and you were going to bow hunt. We'd be in the woods looking.
Yes.
We'd already picked us out something and have a stand there and be ready to go.
Hopefully some of y'all are this afternoon.
Yeah, oh, they were. I know, yes.
So
several of my buddies are there after them today.
Good deal. And remember, too, it's – we talk about it every year. It's a real thing. Wear the safety harness.
Absolutely.
Get up in that stand. I know we're all good at this. We've all been doing it a long time. Wear your safety harness.
And we talk about this every year too, Sean. It's not so much like a ladder stand that you're climbing. It's metal.
Right.
But if you're climbing a wooden stand that's been in the woods for a pretty good while.
Ugh.
Whatever you do, check it out really, really good, because that's probably where most people get hurt.
Or they slip when they're like in a climber or turning around or drop apart and try to, you know.
Yes.
Or fall asleep.
Who would do that?
No. Be responsible for any of that. Wear that safety harness. All right, we're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next.